Time for business with Yuka Royer. Now, as expected, Yuka, thanks for joining us on the show. Firstly, the US Federal Reserve has cut interest rates yet again.
Yeah, yet again. Well, monetary policymakers at the Fed decided to bring to lower the bank's central bank's key policy rate by a quarter percentage point. The new overnight lending rate comes to a range of 3.5 to 3.75%. That's the lowest in 3 years. The Fed's policy rate went up from zero to a two-decade high of 5.25% in the space of 18 months amid a post-COVID surge in inflation, and gradually started coming down at the start of last year, but it was kept unchanged this year until September. It's their third straight rate cut since then, but the Fed board signaled that rate moves will be a lot slower going forward, as it noted a slowing job market, a persistent inflation and heightened economic uncertainty. Because of the six-week government shutdown, the Fed had to work without the most recent job and inflation data. There were three opposition votes out of 12. Two called for keeping the rates unchanged, while Trump ally Stephen Miron wanted a larger cut. The board also decided to start buying short-dated government bonds to help manage market cash levels. Here's Chairman Powell speaking just a short while ago.
Everyone around the table at the FOMC agrees that inflation is too high and that we want it to come down, and agrees that the labor market has softened and that there's further risk. Everyone agrees on that. Where the difference is how do you weight those risks? And what does your forecast look like? And where do you, ultimately, where do you think the bigger risk is? And you know, it's very unusual to have persistent tension between the two parts of the mandate. And when you do, this is what you see.
Well, U.S. stocks extended gains after the rate cut announcement, and yields on U.S. Treasury bonds jumped. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up by about 1%, and the S&P 500 up 0.5%. The Nasdaq has crept up above the flat line after a muted start. Earlier, Europe's main markets diverged, while London emerged little changed, but in positive territory. Paris and Frankfurt finished the day in the red.
Well, Yuka, let's change the topic now. Throughout the day, I've seen some reactions on at least the news agencies from all of those teens in Australia who can't use social media anymore. The ban is in place under the age of 16, and it's resonating around the world.
Yeah, well, it's been closely watched by many governments around the world that are also looking at similar measures. Some US states have already moved to restrict usage for underage kids, and the EU is also considering introducing blanket age restrictions. That's because there's a lot of concern over the addictive nature of social media. In the US, a recent survey showed 95% of teens use social media services, with nearly half of them saying they're constantly on the internet. In the UK, an alarming trend shows a growing number of parents allowing their kids aged 3 to 5 to use social media, with nearly a fifth of them using the services by themselves. For now, the Australian ban targets 10 major services, including YouTube, Instagram, TikTok and X. Elon Musk's platform had been the last holdout, but finally said it would comply. Despite resistance from teens, as some of them even taken the ban to court as a violation of their constitutional rights, and uncertainty over how effective tech companies will be able to enforce it, the legislation has received overwhelming support in Australia and could set a precedent to others. Janami.
I won't say which out of those I use, but amazing, a fifth of 3 to 5-year-olds in the UK on social media. The rollout has been controversial nonetheless of this reform, but can it be a watershed moment possibly for the whole industry?
Yeah, well, the social media or the industry has evolved in recent years, especially after TikTok took the world by storm. Most platforms have changed from being social, well, where users can see posts by people they're connected with, to entertainment, where algorithm-based content is generated based on their interests. This has turned quite a large number of people away from social media, and companies have taken notice. Instagram has just unveiled a new AI-powered feature that lets users adjust the algorithm shaping their Reels feed. The ban in Australia also has the potential to change the social media landscape if others follow suit, potentially giving smaller startups an opportunity to challenge the market dominated by big tech currently.
Fascinating. Now let's move away from social media. In other tech news, perhaps unsurprisingly, Amazon has just announced a massive investment in India.
The e-commerce giant plans to invest more than $35 billion in India by 2030 to advance AI-based digitization and create jobs. This would nearly double the company's total investment into the country so far. The announcement comes a day after Microsoft announced a $17.5 billion investment to help build up AI infrastructure in the world's most populous nation, which has become a kind of El Dorado for tech companies in the face of trade tensions between the US and China. And meanwhile, the United Arab Emirates is turning towards AI as part of a grand strategy at ensuring its future in a post-fossil fuels world, with billions of dollars in capital now being pumped into developing infrastructure that aims to support internet users not just on the Arabian Peninsula, but around the world. Luke Schrago explains.
Springing out of the Arabian desert like a mirage, an AI campus that will ultimately be a quarter the size of Paris, with storage and computing capacity over a 3,200-kilometre radius covering some 4 billion people. It's the United Arab Emirates' bet on domestic tech to assure its future.
UAE is punching above its weight in terms of a very small country that really wants to be at the forefront. Also because of its geographical location, right? We're at that center point between Asia, Africa, and Europe to some extent.
Phase one of the project will be run by OpenAI and has backing from US tech heavyweights like Oracle, Cisco, and Nvidia. The latter now authorized to export advanced chips both there and to Saudi Arabia. The UAE's had its eyes on artificial intelligence for much of the last decade and has pumped $147 billion into development since 2024. Abu Dhabi even hosts the world's first AI-dedicated university, with AI a core subject in UAE schools from kindergarten on up. Another bet on its own self-reliance.
Sovereignty and self-sustainability and domestic customization of technology to local needs are all very, very important and also difficult to achieve if you solely rely on importing and external, technical transfer.
The UAE's vast oil and gas reserves and climate for solar power also help it overcome the obstacle of the phenomenal power AI demands. And if the Emirates have their eyes on world leaders China and the US, there are others with their eyes on the UAE in turn. Neighbouring Qatar has now started investing in its own AI hub with a $20 billion joint venture.
Luke Trago with that report, and that's it from
Business. Fascinating future awaits. Yuka Roya, thank you for the business. We've got more coming up in just a few minutes.